Emotional Bites. It's giving self-awareness, but with the side of aha. Ready to dive into some seriously intense emotions today. We're talking about anger, contempt, hate.
Yeah.
You know, those really heated feelings that can really mess with us.
And we're not just scratching the surface here. We're going deep, right, into the why behind these emotions.
Absolutely. But let's get to the mechanics of these feelings for a bit, especially anger.
Right. Appraisals are key. Appraisal theory says emotions aren't random. They're triggered by how our brains instantly assess what's happening. And those judgments, they directly shape how we feel.
So we're not just reacting. Our brains are always evaluating, interpreting, and that's what fuels the feeling itself.
Exactly. And when it comes to anger, two appraisals seem to be the most important. Goal obstruction and what researchers call other person agency.
Okay, so goal obstruction. Someone or something's blocking our goal, but other person agency. Does that mean we think another person's responsible for that roadblock?
You got it. Think about this time you get really angry. Often, it's because something or someone is stopping you from getting what you want and blaming them that you did this to me feeling. That's what really gets the anger bumping. Ever snap at someone out of nowhere, then realize later you were just stressed about something totally unrelated?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Like taking it out on the barista who's just trying to make my coffee.
Exactly. Our emotions are primed for those reactions, and sometimes we misfire, we blame the wrong target.
There's this fascinating study by Rosin, Lowry, Amata, and Haight back in 99. They showed people pictures of faces, like showing anger, contempt, disgust, you know, the real deal.
Okay, got it. Different expressions. Then what?
Then they gave them descriptions of different moral transgressions, like stealing, lying, breaking promises, that sort of thing.
So trying to see if people could match the face to the, like, the crime.
Right. And get this, people were amazingly good at it. Like they could accurately connect the expression to the specific moral no-no. For example, anger, almost always linked to violations of autonomy, that feeling of being controlled or having your choices taken away.
Like when someone totally steamrolls your opinion in a meeting as if their way is the only way.
Spot on. Our need for autonomy hates that. But contempt, that was consistently linked to violations of community standards, things that go against our shared values, you know.
It's no more like someone cutting in line or blasting music while you're trying to have a peaceful picnic in the park.
Exactly. It disrupts the social flow, makes us question the person's character. Like, do you not get it? Are you really that clueless? And that's where the action part comes in. Anger is often about righting that wrong.
No.
About making things right again.
I see.
There's actually research that backs this up. Back in the 1980s, Averill's work showed that over 90% of people experience an urge to act aggressively when they're angry.
Wow.
So basically, almost everyone has felt that urge to lash out when they're angry, whether it's honking the horn or firing off a strongly worded email.
Right. Contempt is a whole different ballgame. Instead of that fiery energy of anger, contempt is like, well, imagine a door slowly closing. It's less about changing the other person and more about protecting yourself by emotionally distancing yourself from them.
Interesting.
It's like you're saying, this person is so beneath me, so fundamentally flawed, that they're not even worth my time or energy. It's giving, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed, but on a whole other level. And that's why recognizing the difference between anger and contempt is so crucial. Anger, even when it's intense, still holds a flicker of hope for change. It's like with that coworker who took credit for your idea, anger might motivate you to confront them to fight for recognition because you still believe the situation can be salvaged.
Right.
But contempt, that's when you start to write the person off entirely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
It's like the difference between trying to repair a broken vase and just tossing the whole thing in the trash. With anger, there's still a chance for repair. With contempt, you've basically given up and moved on.
Wow.
And that's why, as researchers Fisher and Roseman have found, contempt can be incredibly toxic to relationships. It creates this chasm of disrespect that's really tough to bridge. Think about your own experiences. Have you ever felt that fiery anger that actually led to a productive conversation? Maybe even strengthened a bond? And then on the flip side, have you ever felt that icy grip of contempt just shut down a relationship? It's not just about what happens to us, but about how we interpret those events, the meaning we give them.
One thing that really stood out to me was this whole control potential idea and how different it looks across these emotions.
Oh, it's a fascinating concept. Control potential is basically our brain deciding, can we influence the situation or not? High control, we feel like we can change things. Low control, we feel stuck. Anger often comes from this feeling that we could influence the situation. Think of it like someone's constantly interrupting you while you're trying to give a presentation at work. That feeling of, hey, they should know better. This is controllable and you've got every right to try and fix it. That's where anger comes in.
And that example makes me think, because it can be such a quick jump from anger to contempt, depending on how much control we actually feel we have.
That's a great point, and the research actually backs that up. With anger, we feel like we can change things, but with contempt, it's almost like we've given up on that.
So anger is more about action, like they messed up, they better fix it. But contempt is more like this is just who they are and it's pathetic.
Exactly. We're judging their character, not just their actions.
Okay, so where does hate fit into this whole spectrum? If anger is about having some control and contempt's about having less, what happens when it simmers and turns into hate?
Hate. It's a heavy word, right? Like, there's so much darkness to it. We've talked about anger, wanting to change things, even contempt, where you just shut down, shut people out. But hate, it feels different, like it's in its own category completely.
You're hitting the nail on the head there. It's not just anger amplified. You know, researchers, folks like Fisher, Halperin, Canetti, Giacini, they've been saying this for a while. It's his own thing, distinct from anger or contempt. It's not a one-time thing. It's a pattern of being hurt by someone or something.
Yeah, exactly. And that can be incredibly disempowering, being hurt over and over. But even in hate, there might still be a desire for revenge or a need to distance ourselves from the threat.
So even in that really dark place, our brains are still searching for some way to regain control, even if it's unhealthy.
Hate often builds after someone's been hurt repeatedly or betrayed stuff that really chips away at feeling safe and trusting. It goes even further than that.
Way further. With hate, it's not about changing the other person. It's not about distance. It's about wanting them gone.
Wow. Okay. So what does that actually look like? Gone?
It can take a lot of forms, actually. Sometimes it's mental. You just erase that person in your mind. Or it can be social, like trying to get them kicked out of a group, spreading rumors. And then the worst case is hate turns physical, wanting to actually hurt them, even get rid of them completely.
That's really scary, honestly. It's like hate takes away any ability to see the other person as a person, right? They're just a threat and that's it.
And the really messed up part is hate often takes root when we feel powerless. Remember we were talking about control potential with anger and contempt? Yeah, well, hate, it seems to pop up when that control is gone.
So just to make sure I'm following, anger, it needs that belief that we can change things. Contempt, that's when we hit a wall, feel like we can't. But hate comes in when there's zero control, zero hope of things getting better.
You got it. Think about it. If you believe you can change something, even if it's a small chance, you might stay angry or even contemptuous, but there's still that little bit of agency there, like you have some impact. But when that belief is gone, when it feels like you have no control over the situation, over your own pain, that's when hate can take over.
So in a way, hate is like this last ditch effort, right? A desperate attempt to protect ourselves when we feel totally helpless to fight back any other way. Makes you wonder though, could you actually dismantle hate somehow by changing those thought patterns? Like if you could help someone feel more in control or change how they see the other person.
That is the question researchers are trying to figure out. Can you really change someone's deeply held beliefs about another person or group? Especially when those beliefs are based in fear, feeling powerless, feeling threatened.
And it speaks to how deeply rooted these emotions are, how they might have actually helped our ancestors survive in a tribal setting.
What's a connection there between these strong emotions and our tribal past?
Think about it back then. Survival was all about working together and spotting danger, right? Anger, in its most basic form, could have been crucial for keeping people in line.
Like a warning system. Hey, this behavior is not okay. Stop it.
Right. Essential for keeping order and protecting the group from threats within. Contempt, though, that might have been how they identified people who just weren't reliable, maybe even dangerous to the tribe.
So by letting others know someone was untrustworthy, they avoided potential harm, kept the group stable.
Exactly. It's fascinating. Emotions we see as negative today were probably critical for survival back then. And even hate, as intense and destructive as it is, it had a purpose too.
Okay, so if anger was the warning, contempt was the label. What about hate? What was its role in this primal setup?
Hate? Well, that probably meant someone was a serious ongoing danger. Individuals or even rival groups who kept causing harm, betraying trust, putting the whole tribe at risk.
So not just someone making a mistake, but a constant threat to everyone.
Exactly. And in those situations, hate might have been the fuel for extreme measures, kicking someone out, banishment, even more drastic stuff. The stakes were high, and those emotions, even the ones we see as super negative now, were likely there to protect the group, make sure it survived.
It's a pretty intense way to think about the emotions we inherit, isn't it?
Our appraisals play a huge role in shaping our emotional responses, but they're part of who we are, you know?
So as we wrap up this deep dive into anger, contempt, hate, all that messy, fascinating stuff, what's the one thing you want our listener to take away from all this?
I'd say stay curious. Stay curious about your emotions. Don't be afraid to actually explore them, even the ones that make you squirm a little. It's not about being ashamed or trying to bury them.
It's more like they're signals, right?
Yeah.
Trying to tell us something.
Exactly. Guideposts, almost, on that journey of figuring ourselves out.
It's about turning toward those feelings, even the intense ones, and using them as opportunities to learn and grow.
100%. And you're not alone in this. We all feel these things. They're part of what makes us human.
So next time you feel that anger bubbling up, that contempt creeping in, even that little flicker of hate, ask yourself, what is this telling me about my values, my aspirations, my insecurities?
It's like holding up a mirror to our own, you know, inner landscape. Not always pretty, but definitely illuminating. Well, this has been awesome. It's amazing how much we can learn from the emotions that we usually try to just avoid thinking about.
It's true.
So, to our awesome listeners out there, thank you so much for joining us for this emotional roller coaster. And remember, this is really just the beginning of the exploration. Keep questioning, keep reflecting, and stay curious about this fascinating world of human emotion. Until next time.